Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. We'll kick things off with the Premier League on Monday. Crystal Palace in action against Arsenal. Arsenal looking to move back up to fourth in the table. However, they lost 3-0 at Selhurst Park. It was a drubbing. Arteta's side didn't turn up at all for this tie. Crystal Palace thoroughly deserving of the 3 points that puts them ninth in the Premier League. Meanwhile, for Arsenal, they remain fifth, level on points with Spurs, goal difference separating them, but a lot of questions to be answered for Arteta between now and the end of the season. Well, for more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Shaka Hislop and Frank Leboeuf. But Stevie, I want to start with you. What happened to Arsenal today?
I think you can only look and say that we talk about the inexperience of some of the Arsenal players, and I think the fact that they're coming off an international break, I think it has to be that, because there's no way that Arteta hasn't been talking to them and winding them up before this game, because it was a huge game as far as solidifying where they think they are in that fourth spot. I think you've got to put this down to a lack of experience, and by that I mean stepping on the field and thinking that it's just going to happen.
But Lacazette's got experience. He was terrible today. Sure, you're looking at those sort of players.
Well, I can't tell you anything else, because it surely, they obviously know what happened at the weekend. They obviously see the position they find themselves in.
Yeah.
And if you've got any real ambition, then you're actually looking at Chelsea and saying, listen, if we can keep doing what we've been doing, we can actually catch Chelsea. That didn't happen, and it can only be down to experience.
Shaka, if you didn't know the league table going into this and said, well, which of these teams are vying for a place in the Champions League, it's not even a debate. Crystal Palace played them off the pitch from start to finish, and given what's at stake for Arsenal, given how hard they've worked to get into this position, that must be so frustrating from a Gunners' point of view.
Absolutely it is. Listen, let me offer Arsenal some excuse, and the two wing-backs, Tavares and Soares, aren't first choices, and I think it showed. I think it showed by some of the poor decisions Arsenal made defensively, which resulted in goals. Those decisions aren't what we've come to expect of Arsenal during this last run. But you're absolutely right. Crystal Palace recognised their weaknesses, went at them, got the goals that they deserved. Okay, both of them, as I mentioned, defensive mistakes. And in the second half, when Arteta tried to change things, I thought Palace were just simply outstanding in sitting back, soaking the pressure up, not offering Arsenal an awful lot, probably up until 20 minutes to go. Odegaard had one shot that came quickly at him that he really should have done better with. But I don't remember Arsenal having a chance before that. Yes, as the game went on, they had a couple of other opportunities. But this was about Palace just being better than Arsenal from start to finish. When they needed to hunker down, they did that. They allowed Arsenal nothing. And if you're talking about a team that is pushing for a Champions League place, is hoping to be competing at European club football's highest level, I thought you didn't see much creativity through the midfield. You didn't see much opportunity at the attacking end. And as I say, I offer them an excuse for why they looked as poor as they did at the back.
Obviously, you can count the fact that they were missing their first-choice fullbacks, Frank, but if I'm a supporter of Arsenal, I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking, where's the fight? Where's the guts? And I know that's kind of cliche, and I know sometimes you can play up to supporters, but given what's at stake between now and the end of the season, that was strikingly lacking in today's match.
Definitely, Dan. And in order to judge the non-performance of the Gunners, you have to give credit to the Eagles. And the only good Gunners of the night is a former Gunner, is Patrick Vieira, and the way he worked tactically with his team and made them play. The aggressiveness, the commitment that he put into the every player's head and legs was exactly the opposite of what we saw about the Gunners. It's very strange because with the disaster of Chelsea yesterday, losing 4-1 against Brentford at home, you would have thought yes, it was a big opportunity for the Gunners to get into the game of maybe the third spot. But no reaction, no commitment, no aggressiveness, as I said. It was a complete non-game from the Gunners. I would put that into the lack of experience, The fact that it's a young squad, the youngest of the Premier League, and maybe nobody was there to make the other react. Lacazette, maybe Xhaka should have been the leaders and maybe kicked, you know, some butts to make sure that they could react. But no reaction whatsoever from the Gunners. It's nice to have games in hands, but if you don't win games, it's just a waste.
I'm watching the game in the first half.
Can I also say, Dan?
And I'm thinking to myself, this is the Arsenal of old.
This is the one that started the season.
Yeah, listen, we've been praising Arsenal for the last 6 months about how they're building, how they're doing this, how they're passing the ball well. They look like a good, solid unit now. We've said lots and lots of great things about them. But today, in the first half, they looked like the old Arsenal. The Arsenal that had nobody leading them, nobody telling them what to do. And yes, they are inexperienced, particularly the three, in my opinion, and Odegaard, Saka and Smith Rowe. But then that's down to the coach. You know, 20 minutes in, at the latest, he should be getting the three of them and telling them to sit in the middle of the park, dig in, and let's get the ball back.
Right.
They didn't do that. They all stood up front beside Lacazette. And so Partey and Granit Xhaka are getting completely overrun. And he did nothing till half-time. So, yes, inexperienced, but I thought the manager could have changed a lot of things a lot sooner than he did.
Go on, Shank.
I wanted to make that exact point that Steve was making, that this is the Arsenal of old. And I say that because I look back on when Arsenal went to Wolves and won. They got a man sent off, but I remember how highly I praise them for that performance. And then they did that again at Villa, and everybody's talking about how they celebrated like they won so much. And as this game went on, and you see the frustrations of Arsenal, I was thinking the exact same thing as Stevie. This is the Arsenal of old. But you come to one of these old-fashioned grounds, and that's the thing that stood out to me. Selhurst Park is one of these old grounds where the crowd are right on top of you. Very different from Villa, very different from Wolves. And it just said, and Stevie, when he first spoke about the lack of experience in this squad, and I think all those things came together. That lack of experience, that crowd just being right on top of you and making it really difficult, making the atmosphere, make you really feel that atmosphere. And as a team, they just didn't know how to handle that, and they looked like the old Arsenal.
We'll talk about what this means for Arsenal's chance in the top four in a moment, but we've got to give some love to Patrick Vieira. Mm. I think we had an extra time question, didn't we, a few weeks ago, about whether or not he's in the conversation for manager of the year in the Premier League.
Well, he should be. You know, you're talking about a team that looks dangerous going forward, they're solid defensively, and they actually pass the ball. Those are three things that we have never even associated with Crystal Palace over the last three or four seasons. It's all about do nothing, don't make mistakes, Palace, and try and win 1-0. And at home with the crowd behind us, they managed to do that enough. This is not that Palace anymore. This is a team that has actually got some brains. It's got some football intelligence. I was wondering why he was sitting back in the second half, particularly when I saw Xhaka playing left back.
Yep.
My brain was telling me, right, get after Xhaka, get Zaha over the other side and get after him. And they didn't, and I thought it was going to cost them. But you know what? They used their brains, they gave them nothing, they let them go wide. I mean, they just, without having the ball, they looked as though they were comfortable.
Your mate's doing well, Xhaka.
He is. Extraordinarily well. Listen, and as much praise as we heap on him now, and I do remember that extra time question about Vieira, whether he's in the running or in the discussion at all, we have to remind ourselves where Palace were this time last season. When Vieira accepted the job in the summer, it was almost universal. Why are you taking that job? That is a poison chalice. It's destined to go wrong, especially for a manager who is relatively inexperienced. And to see the job that he's done, it is simply outstanding. I thought he managed this game today, over 90 minutes, wonderfully well. And all the praise that he's getting is fully deserved.
And testament to his character that he's willing to step up and take this challenge, Frank.
Yes, that's absolutely incredible. You know, I saw him, you know, leading the club of Nice, coaching them, and improving the every player that he had in charge. And what he's doing this season with Crystal Palace is absolutely fantastic. And don't forget that today it was a special game for him. He knew exactly what was at stake, you know, for Arsenal. If they won, they would have won against Crystal Palace. He was very calm. He didn't expose himself when they scored. He stayed tuned. And as Stevie was saying, second half, you would have thought that he would try to finish them. No, he decided to play 4-4-2, stayed back, play with the brain, counter-attack, make sure that you can kill the game at some point, but don't get too crazy and make sure you secure the 2-0. That's exactly what happened. Job done. Fantastic. Great coach.
So, what does this all mean then for his former side and their aspirations to finish in a Champions League place? Well, according to the bookies, wow, look at that now. They can't separate Spurs or Arsenal. Remember, Arsenal have been decent odds on favourite for a while now. West Ham are 20-1, United are 6-1. For this purpose, I think we're just going to concentrate on Spurs and Arsenal, those two North London sides. If we take a look at the games that they have remaining, Arsenal definitely have the harder running compared to a Spurs team that are maybe just finding their form at exactly the right time. Villa, Brighton, Brentford, Leicester, Liverpool, Arsenal, Burnley, Norwich. Obviously, you look at that game on match day 36, Stevie, as almost like a winner takes all. But if Spurs continue this run, it might not even matter.
No, other than the Liverpool-Arsenal, I'm thinking, these are victories for Tottenham. My goodness, how quick things have changed this year.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole season has been just all over the place as far as trying to predict who's going to do what. And there's no question, you look at it, you know, Chelsea, United, Man United's going to be a tough one. Tottenham, as you saw. So, yeah Arsenal, 100% have got the tougher run in. I guess Tottenham are favourites now.
Would you pick Spurs now, Stevie?
Oh, God. Listen, at the weekend I said Arsenal.
Yeah, but things change.
I'm not going to change because I don't think you should change your opinion over the course of one game. Because one team in Tottenham had a fantastic game.
Right.
And Arsenal did what they haven't done for a long, long time. I don't think you should flip so quickly. Now, if the next game's the same, then you'd have to consider it. But right now, I'm sticking with Arsenal. They've still got a game in hand. And if they win it, they'll be ahead of Spurs.
That game, of course, in hand is at Chelsea. Xhaka, are you flipping?
Let me just say, I didn't get the memo that you shouldn't flip on result of one game. Nobody told me that. I'll tell you why I'm leaning Spurs when yesterday I was in the studio and was leaning Arsenal. It's because of Arsenal's running. And this game was an absolute must win, I feel, for Arsenal. When you look at who they have to come between now and the end of the season and those tests, this is one that you expected that if Arsenal were to keep pace with whoever, whether it's Spurs or Man U, whether they were to run down Chelsea, this was a game that they had to win and give themselves some leeway for those tougher tests to come. I think they've just removed the safety net and as a result, I think Spurs right now, given the fact that they're running is a little bit easier, and I know they've played a game more, are just about favourites.
Frank?
Yeah, I'm totally with Xhaka in a way that I never thought that Arsenal would be able to go back to the worst of the beginning of the season. And that was really belonging to the past and that we would never see that Arsenal that we saw at the beginning. And that's a big turn of heaven for me because, yeah, I will change my mind also and go for Tottenham because of the schedule that they have. And at the end of April, then we see Chelsea, Manchester United and West Ham in a row against Arsenal. Three games where maybe Arsenal cannot get any points. That would be dramatic. And because of the lack of experience that we mentioned today, I don't see the young players being able to cope with the situation. I hope that I'm wrong, but I feel it like that way.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Manchester United fans, of course, will argue that they are still very much in that race to finish in the top four, despite dropping points once again at the weekend. These are the headlines in the UK newspapers, picking up on quotes from Ranić: "We're big softies, you big softies. Where's this all come from?" Well, this is what he had to say about United. "This team does not lack technical players. It can do with more physicality. It takes right decisions and where you want to go, what kind of players, what kind of manager, and then in every transfer window try to get the best possible. This is not rocket science. It has to be done, and if that happens, it does not necessarily need to be three or four, maybe two or three transfer windows, then the situation could be different. We need more physicality." Stevie.
Where?
On the pitch.
On the pitch. Well, you got a big bruiser in Maguire. You can say all you want about the way he plays, but he's a big, strong boy. You're telling me Raf Varane isn't physical? You got McTominay and Fred in the middle of the park. If anything, the physicality would be their best attributes. So what do you want? Do you want a 6'5", 250-pound centre-forward? I mean, I don't understand what he's saying here at all. I really don't get it. We need more physicality. And that's it. Listen, they are where they are in the league because they're in the right place. There's only Arsenal has given up more goals. And there's only, in fact, the other six in front of them have scored more goals.
Right.
So this team needs an awful lot more than physicality. They need some... Well, I would say they need more ability. There you go. So particularly defensively. Never mind physicality. How about ability? How about technique? Technique's not always about having this silky first touch. Technique is about understanding the game as well. And they don't do that defensively. And he thinks, well, wait a minute, they don't do that defensively. They've lost more goals than everybody else apart from Arsenal ahead of them. That means that in the middle of the park they're not defending well enough. And everybody else has scored more goals than them. So actually they're struggling at the back, they're struggling in the middle, and they're struggling up front, and they only need a couple of windows to fix it all. Come on, who's he kidding?
Shaka, normally I would then go to you, well, you know, are they soft? You know, is the manager trying to put a rocket up them between now and the end of the season? But you just get the feeling that they don't care about impressing this manager anymore because they know he's not going to be there at the end of the year.
And that was always the trouble once he came in. That's always the trouble when you have an interim manager. Nobody's playing for him. Because especially when you have absolutely no idea who the new manager is going to be, and so it's always going to be a test. And then he comes out and makes statements like this. I think people just push back even further. And to Stevie's point, as we was discussing just a moment ago, I don't understand how Ranić sees Liverpool and City as the teams that he wants Manchester United to emulate, but then talk about physicality. I don't think City or Liverpool are that physical teams. I mean, Fabinho, nobody would describe Fabinho as a hard man in our day. I mean, so I really don't. Stevie summed it up right. It's about ability. They have the physicality. They just don't have the ability. So once again, I have no idea what Ranić is getting at. Maybe I need some kind of a better or further explanation from him on that one.
They're just not a team, Frank. It's that simple, isn't it?
That's as simple as you just said, you know. And on top of it, in order to get the physicality or the ability or both of them, you have to be in the right frame of mind. I think the players are not. they don't want to fight for Manchester United. We all remember the fantastic team from 1999, where you will have to fight against them because the physical aspects of the game were there. Of course, the ability were there, but they were all fighting for the club, having their heart big like that to make sure they will give something to the colour of the club. It's what they lost the essence of Manchester United. That's not a club of big star. That's a complete, how do you say, jigsaw of players who want to fight and play together. It's what, how they've been successful in 1999. Not because of big star just coming and showing themselves and playing just for themselves.
Just a reminder, we always stay late to answer your tweets on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Some interesting ones coming in today, some about the Grammys and Frank's singing ability. Be sure to go over to YouTube and have a look at that at the end of the show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Big month, isn't it, for Pep Guardiola's at Manchester City? They're going to see a lot of Atletico Madrid and a lot of Liverpool as well. Ahead of the game tomorrow against Atleti, Pep Guardiola was asked about overthinking things.
I overthink a lot.
And is that fair?
Absolutely. That's why I had very good results in Champions League. I love, it would be boring my job if all the time I had to see the same way against opponents. They face different ways to play. So if the people can believe I'm going to approach the play the same way Atletico Madrid and Liverpool, is because I don't like, I'm not thinking about that. Because the movements from Liverpool are completely different than Atletico Madrid, especially because the players are different. Every player has a mother and father, you know? And a mother and father have a different personalities, a different type of players. And I have to adapt and adjust. That's why I love to overthink and create stupid tactics again, to after that, when neither win, be punished. So this is the reason why. And tomorrow I'm going to, tonight I take an inspiration and I'm going to do an incredible tactics tomorrow. So we play with 12 tomorrow. You know.
It's interesting because we've levied that criticism towards him, particularly, yeah, of course, in the Champions League final when he tinkered with the team that would look so successful. Does he overthink it too much?
Aye. That's a deflection, that.
Right.
He was going along with it to deflect it.
Right.
So that it didn't get too serious. But there's no question, you have to look at the Champions League and you have to say that the decisions he's made, both with Bayern and with Manchester City, they've come unstuck.
Yeah.
Because he's done something out of the ordinary, or out of what made them the team they are. And it's dangerous, because if you do take one of the little cogs away, it can change an awful lot. And he absolutely has been found guilty of that. But I think he's playing along with that to try and make it light-hearted, because it's true. He said it was true, and I think that's a problem.
Is it a problem, Frank?
Well, it was a problem when he played against Chelsea in the final of the Champions League, where I think he overthought too much and changed his in midfield zone and in midfield line. But you can't change the people. He was a player like that. He tried to be the master of perfection everywhere and every time that he played. He's like that as a coach. He's been successful at Barcelona. I think he has the right way of being successful. He won't change. And at one point, he's going to be successful again in Europe. That's for sure. With City, that's planned. And at one point, it's going to happen.
Of course, you'll be hoping that happens this season. They take on Atleti on Tuesday. And Atletico Madrid side, Xhaka, obviously we've seen put on a good run of form together, not only in La Liga, knocking out Manchester United as well. But there's one thing with Atleti, there's no overthinking it. You know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah. You know exactly that every single time. And to Atleti's and Diego Simeone's credit, they found some stability in their starting lineup. They found real success in the way that they play. But this kind of game up against Manchester City is exactly what they want, is exactly who they are, exactly how Simeone built his reputation, by just going to places, being stubborn, and putting noses out of joint. So they'll be looking forward to this. And as you say, while Pep Guardiola will be thinking, if not overthinking, how to play against Atletico Madrid, you know that they are just, Atleti don't have that issue. They're going to sit in, they're going to be defensive, they're going to be ugly, they're going to be physical. The ball will be out of play more times than in it feels. As long as they get a result, they don't care about the criticism. You know what's coming.
What's interesting, Stevie, is ahead of the Manchester United tie, we were saying, wait, this isn't the Atleti that we've been used to over the last few seasons. Right. They're exposed at the back. You know, they're trying to play more attractive football. But they went back to type, it seems, over that match against United and in La Liga, and it's working for them.
Yeah, unfortunately, they played against Manchester City, though.
Right, so it doesn't...
There's no possible way that you can... we can sit here and we understand that they love to be the party poopers and
yes.
the whole thing. And,
yeah.
and they kind of give the impression that they can't wait to sit tight and defend and get after City. But the truth is, if that's the way... And it's the only way they can win.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. Yes, they've shown that recently they can defend better. But you cannot... go on that field, or you certainly can't sit here and think that Atletico Madrid are going to win this over two games against a side that are far superior. And you're going to have to sit for 180 minutes and defend and not give chances and goals away. Yes, they've shown they can do it. But if I'm going into a game relying on that, that's not a good place to start.
What's your prediction for the game tomorrow?
I think City wins 2-0, 3-0 maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, they've had a good
spell.
They've had a good spell, Atletico Madrid, recently. I'm not apologising.
You said I'm sorry.
I don't see where the optimism's coming from.
Right.
Because they've had a couple of decent defensive performances. The fact is, the majority of the season, they've been pretty bad defensively. So, I'm sorry. I see a comfortable win for City.
Frank, what's the score going to be on Tuesday and who's going through?
Manchester is going to win, and I will predict a 4-1 if it's not a 4-0. And Man City is going to go through. Yeah, there's no way that Atletico can compete with Manchester City.
Chat.
I'm in agreement in City winning over two legs. I think they win on Tuesday. I'm going to go for 2-0. But to Stevie's point about where the optimism comes from, it's just because, listen, in terms of quality of squad, over two legs, there should be 6 or 7-0, right? If we just go on the quality of squad. But Atleti are just so happy just to be negative that and hope to get something on the break or something. That's what you could also see it being anything in there. But I go City in the first leg 2-0. The second leg, I don't expect to be more than 1 or 2-0 either.
Meanwhile, of course, on Wednesday, arguably the big tie of the quarterfinals is at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea taking on Real Madrid. Both teams were dreadful this weekend, getting differing results. So Real Madrid, of course, being Celta Vigo 2-1. Chelsea thrashed by Brentford 4-1 at home. Yet the bookies still have Chelsea as favourites to advance to the semi-finals. What's your thoughts around this game, Frank?
Well, let's say that we saw during the weekend two teams who were already in the Champions League frame of mind. And I see a big game. I see a close score. I see a 1-0 for Chelsea or 2-1. I would say 1-0 for Chelsea. No, I would say 2-1 for Chelsea for that game. And I see Chelsea going through in the two legs.
I'm going to go for a Chelsea win in the first leg. I'm going to go 2-0 Chelsea. Come back to me about over two legs. I'm leading Chelsea now, though.
Yeah, I think Chelsea will win this leg. I'm with Xhaka, but maybe 2-1, something like that.
Right.
I'm not convinced over two legs. This is a tough one to pick. You know, Chelsea don't usually give four goals away. That was just one of those days at the weekend. And Real Madrid right now are not playing well at all. So I'm going to say Chelsea wins the first leg, 2-1.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Meanwhile, Karim Benzema is on the front page of L'Équipe that's been published tonight, saying that with Kylian Mbappe, we'll score twice as many goals. RMC, meanwhile, reporting, Frank, that Mbappe has decided to stay at PSG. This continues to rumble on.
Yeah, that's going to be a story that's going to keep on make people wondering, you know, what's going to happen at the end of the, well, at the end of the season. I always thought that it would be thoughtful from Mbappe to reconsider staying at Paris Saint-Germain, depending on what the Paris Saint-Germain board wants to do next season, whether Neymar and Messi is going to stay, where they're going to buy, who they're going to buy, who they're going to sell, what's going to happen, and what will be their challenge for the next season. And again, I still think that Real Madrid is still in a cycle of rebuilding very soon his midfield and some of the other player. What's going to happen to Karim Benzema within a year, because he's getting older, even if he's absolutely fantastic right now. So I don't know if for Mbappe, if it's the right decision to go to Madrid, even if everything says he's going to go. I'm not sure about that. He's a real leader at Paris Saint-Germain. The fans love him. He's the real playmaker. He has something to reconsider. And hopefully for the fans of Paris Saint-Germain, he's going to stay.
He was brilliant yesterday. Absolutely sensational, as he has been for most of the season. What would you do?
It just seems tough to stay somewhere where you might be the pin-up boy and everybody's hero, but when the other 10 stepping on the field are all getting booed, and there's like a toxic
right
atmosphere around the place, why would you stay? You know, because of the situation they find them in with Neymar and Messi, would they even be able to move them on with the money they're getting? So I'm not so sure why I would stay at PSG in such a place where there's so much misery going on. It can be fun going in there every day.
But then you look at Real Madrid, and as Frank brought up, Xhaka, there's going to be a big revolution there. You look at Modric getting older, Cruz, Casemiro as well. When you look at projects, which is the biggest one?
Well, the bigger project is Real Madrid, because that's the bigger football club. And Kylian Mbappe has firmly established himself as one of the best players on the planet right now. And I think the best players want to play at the biggest clubs. For as much as PSG have promised to be, for as much as they continue to play, I don't think there is a club on the planet that brings more kind of exposure to a footballer than Real Madrid right now. If I'm Kylian Mbappe, I'm thinking that Real Madrid is my next destination. I'm thinking it has to be my next destination.
More then on Real Madrid against Chelsea, I'm sure, on the next edition of the show. Plus, of course, we'll be reflecting on Benfica against Liverpool and that clash between Manchester City and Atletico Madrid. Speaking of Manchester City, live April 16th, it is the FA Cup semi-final from Wembley. Be sure to join us here on ESPN Plus. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. We will be back tomorrow for more, of course. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. Pretty in Pink. Shaka Hislop is with us, as is Frank LaBeouf as well. Let's get to it, shall we? Manchester City treble or Liverpool quadruple? Oh. Which one seems more possible to happen?
Mm. Well, the treble's easier than the quadruple, so you've got to say City. Simple as that.
Why?
Well, because it's easier to win three than it is to win four.
Yeah, but you've already won one. So you've still got three. It's three more, isn't it?
It's four more than three.
But
it's four. Excuse me, Your Honour.
Right.
Could you tell him to answer the
wrong
question?
You know you're wrong.
It's four more than three. Just a yes or
four
no.
Four is more than three.
Thank
yes
you. I rest my case, Your Honour.
How many more trophies do Liverpool need to win to complete the quadruple?
I played the fifth.
Which is more likely, Shaq?
I'm going to go City to win the treble. Because they're still ahead in the league, I have them as 51-49 favourites to go on and win. So I have them as 51-49 favourites to do the treble.
Frank?
Can I wait for one more week to answer to you? Because soon we'll have a semi-final and we'll have an answer very quickly.
No, you can't wait.
Okay, I will go for City as well.
Oh, really? No one else went for City? Oh, yeah, no, Shaka did, didn't he?
Oh, you did.
And Stevie pleaded the fifth. Question for all, is Pedri better than Foden? Shaka?
What we're seeing right now, yes. I think in this Barcelona team, Pedri is the star of that side and carrying it well. And for as good as Foden is, I don't think he is the number one standout player for Manchester City. So I'm leading Pedri.
Stephen.
I think you've got to say Pedri right now, but I think it's a little unfair on Foden because Foden generally at the moment is getting played out of position. He's not a centre forward. And generally he's been your invisible nine, as they call it. So you'd have to say Pedri, but as I said, I think it's unfortunate for Foden.
They call it a false nine.
Pardon?
And this isn't it a false nine?
Who cares what they call it? It's not a centre forward, right? Invisible, false.
I don't think I've ever heard it called an invisible nine.
Well, you do. Well, you have no.
But you can't see him. How can you pass the ball?
Because it's not a number nine. Invisible nine, right? He doesn't wear nine, does he? But he plays nine, so he's invisible. Have you seen how defenders go like that? Where is he?
Where is he?
Plead the fifth. Just plead the fifth, Stevie.
Too late.
Too late. I've opened my mouth.
Pedri or Foden? Frank?
Because they don't play in the same position, for me it's impossible to compare them. Pedri is more in the middle of the park, so I would say that we see more Pedri. But what Foden is capable of doing, playing in the front line, even if he plays as invisible, we see him a lot and he's very accurate.
Who said that? Who said that?
Frank, could Conor Gallagher get into the Chelsea team right now?
That would be interesting. I'm very fond of that player. He gives 100% every time he plays. Now you have to find a spot. Will he be better than Mount? Will he be better than Havertz? If he plays as a number 10, I don't think so. You will have to find a place, but I see him, you know, playing alongside N'Golo Kante. That could be very, very good.
Frank, if you could co-star with any one person from the ESPN FC crew in your next movie, who would you pick?
Wow. I don't know, if I want to play a James Bond movie, I will play Luis Garcia with me, you know, because the guy is quite handsome. If I want to play...
Wait, what would you want to play?
Wait, you can't have somebody better looking than you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you...
Why don't you go for Dan then?
No.
It's like when you go out with your mates, you don't want your good-looking mates with you. They make you look ugly.
I don't care. I, as long as I play in a movie, I don't care how I look, you know? I want to play in a movie. But if I want to play a comedy, I definitely go with Stevie. Because Stevie is the kind of guy who makes me laugh, not because of the situation, but the way he talks, the way he speaks, is always very serious, but he makes everybody laugh.
So you're laughing at him more
than with
him.
Stevie.
So you're just laughing at me. I mean, seriously.
That's it.
No, I think
there was a compliment in there somewhere, Frank. I'll take it.
You know, just the reaction of you having right now makes me want to pick you for the next movie.
Wow, I can't believe you picked Luis Garcia over Shaka.
No,
Shaka is different. Shaka would be for a philosophical movie. You know what I mean?
Shaka.
With thoughtful, something very, very deep. That would be Shaka.
Frank, if you could play beside anybody, never mind us numpties here, a proper actor or actress, who would it be?
Oh. Sean Connery in James Bond. Yeah. We'd love to.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Could be a problem. Anyone watch the Grammys last night, and any favourite moments, performances? Who's a better singer, Frank or Mario? Will we see a future collaboration? Because Mario was supposed to be on with Frank and Mario singing a song together. I want to start with the Grammys, shall we? Did you watch it, Stevie?
Didn't even know it was on.
I watched it with the kids.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
The kids, they must have loved it.
Well, they did. They knew more than me and Denise, didn't they? They're all into that.
That's not really singing a lot, is it?
Well, not. Bruno Mars won the single of the year, and it's just a terrible song. Like, awful. I have no idea how it won. Shaka, did you watch the Grammys?
What song is that? What song won?
Leave the Door Open. Oh, just awful song.
That's a nice song.
Open, Shaka.
It's not a nice song. It's a terrible song.
It's a good song.
That's it.
Well,
it's not a good song.
You don't have the monopoly of taste. You don't have the monopoly of taste than Thomas, you know. But
that's very true,
I guess.
Did you like that song, Frank?
I don't even know the song, and
there
I don't
are,
think
see?
It was showed yesterday in French television. I never watched the Grammy. I don't really care about those kind of things. But I'm happy that everybody knows that your wife is named Denise.
And what about any future singles you'd like to release, Frank, given your success with The Masked Singer?
No, we have to be serious, come on. I don't know how to sing a song, and I love singing below the shower, under the shower, I don't know how you say it in English.
Yeah.
And that's it, that's good for me. And. Being in a mass singer, you record the song, you're in a studio, and you don't sing live because that would be awful for the audience.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, you ruin it for us.
I thought they were singing live.
Some footballers have done it, haven't they?
I don't care.
Teddy Sheringham?
I don't care.
Michael Owen?
It's past.
Rotten.
What?
They're both rotten.
Would you do it?
No.
Oh, Steve, if they paid you enough, you'd do it?
Yes.
That is it.
You didn't mention money the first day.
Shaka, is there a Trinidad and Tobago version that you could sign up for?
No, there's not a Trinidad and Tobago version that I'm aware of. Not yet, anyway, but now you've given me a reason to invent one.
There you are, perfect.
Hold on, who just snuck in there? You see the shadow?
Leave the door open, Shaka.
Yeah,
Somebody's coming in. Leave the door open.
Walk right
you've listened to Bruno Mars too much.
Who was it, Shaka?
Leave.
My little man just came in.
Frank, what are you doing?
I don't know. You were talking about the leave the door open, and somebody came in and checked his house, so it's why I was singing the song.
You don't know the song?
Leave the door open.
Was it Bruno Mars that came out?
That is it. Thank you very much.
I saw Bruno Mars. I saw Mars in concert in Paris. The guy is huge. He's huge. Fantastic, Bruno Mars. Love him.
Oh, there you are.
You should hear his new song.
I thought
song
he was about 5 foot nine myself.
You should hear his new
small
song. Leave the door.
Looks smaller on TV.
Yeah.
What's your shout about, Shaq?
I was telling Frank you should hear Bruno Mars's new song. Leave the door.
There you are.
It's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will for
ESPN
sure.
FC, back on your screens tomorrow. Champions League, everyone. Oh, yes.
Whoa.
Leave the TV on.